Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today, coming to you from Mumias, Kenya. Very hot today, and we're in the dry season, no rain for a couple of weeks now. And so we thank the Lord for the good work going on here in Kenya. We just recently bought a plot of land, and we're going to be building another church, or a church. It will be taking the place of the church now, which is meeting in the children's home that we built out there at Makunda. And so we bought a plot of land just a couple hundred yards away from where our children's home is. And we will be starting hopefully within the next 30 days to build a church there. Our church is growing rapidly. We're now in our second year of fellowship, but we're growing rapidly. We have 60 to 70 adults who are members of our church. And we will be building a church that will accommodate probably near 150 people. So God is faithful. He is good. We have been faithful to Him and diligent to pray and diligent to fast, diligent to follow up on the people who have visited the church. And we have many young people coming, which is a really good sign. We have many children also. 60 to 70 children are coming on a regular basis, and we don't really have room for that many. And so we are looking forward, anxiously anticipating the finishing of a new church. So this is an offer to anyone over in USA. If you would like to come and help us build the new church, probably going to happen in February or March, come get a hold of me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know what you have as far as time available, and we will see if we can accommodate you and bring you over here to help with the building of the new church. We also have a crusade coming up in Mwanza in Tanzania, way down on the south end of Lake Victoria. It's about 12-hour drive, 12-hour by bus from here. And so we're going to be doing a big crusade down there the last week in February in Mwanza, Tanzania, a city of 1 to 2 million people. And so we're looking forward to that. And it's going to be a great time for a crusade down in Mwanza. So keep that lifted up in your prayers. So today we're going to be talking about victory and defeat. And this is a story of the children of Israel. When they first came into the promised land, God had given them instructions. He had given them commands of how they were to proceed. And Joshua, the understudy who has now taken over for Moses, is now leading the children of Israel with all of their children, their wives, 600 and some thousand men with their wives and children and their livestock. And so it's a big nation of people moving into the promised land. And the first city that the Lord gives them to take after they have crossed over the Jordan River is the city of Jericho. And so we take this story up in Joshua chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at the first few verses here in Joshua chapter 6. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. Do this for 6 days, and seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass," verse 5, "when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all of the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." And so God has given them a battle plan here, and the Lord always gives us a battle plan when we are getting ready to go into battle. The Lord always has a plan for us, and the Bible says that man has his plans, but it is the Lord's plan that will be established. And beloved, it's very important that you stick to the Lord's battle plan. And so that's what this message is all about. And it entails sticking to the Lord's battle plan and being obedient to the details of His plan, being obedient to the little minor things that we may not think is important. And we don't always know why God details things in the way he does. We don't always know why God lays out strategy in the way that he does. But trust me, beloved, when God tells you to do something, when God lays out strategy for you to defeat the enemy in your life, it is important that you be obedient to God in every detail that he lays out for you. And so he has told the children of Israel, I'm giving this city into your hand, but there is something that you must do, or there are things that you must do to make sure that the victory is completed, to make sure that you participate in the way that I have asked you to participate, and you partake of the victory. And you can only partake of the victory, God says, when you are obedient to me. And we looked last week at Joshua chapter 5 and the commander of the Lord of hosts, who is none other than Jesus Christ. He showed up and he presented himself standing opposite of Joshua when they first came into the promised land. He stood opposite of Joshua, and Joshua said, are you for us or are you against us? And this was a great question that we all have, because sometimes we feel like God has abandoned us. Sometimes we feel like we're in the battle by ourselves and there's nobody to stand with us, and Jesus is gone and God is gone, and we don't feel the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. And so Joshua asked Jesus, are you with us or are you against us? And Jesus said, no, I'm not with you or against you. I am the commander of the Lord of hosts, and I have come to be with you because you are God's chosen people, because you are the chosen children of Israel. But I have come when you are walking in obedience and in righteousness to me. And so this is the lesson for us. Jesus is always there for us, but he does not always fight for us when we are living in sin and when we are disobedient to God's plan for our life, when we're disobedient to the instructions that God has given us. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Meditate on that, beloved. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So it's very important that we not take the grace of God for granted. It's very important that we not just go our own way and say, well, I'm a Christian, so I can do anything I want because I have God's grace and I know that he's going to forgive me. Well, it's not quite that simple. When you have the grace of God, it's so that you can repent and correct any mistakes, correct any sin in your life, repent of any sin, and so you can change your wicked ways, you can turn from your wicked ways, just as we as a nation need to do that also. But as individuals, we also need to do that, turn from our wicked ways. And when we are walking in obedience, when we are walking with the Lord, then the Lord fights the battle for us. Then the Lord is with us. Then the Lord hears our prayer and we go forward in victory. And so the Lord has laid out a battle plan here for Joshua and the children of Israel. And he says, march around the city of Jericho every day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, I want you to march around the city of Jericho 7 times. And then give out a shout, blow the ram's horns, and let the people of Jericho know that you're coming in. And then give out a shout, and you will see the walls fall down. And that's exactly what happened. They walked around the city of Jericho 1 time for 6 days. And I'm sure the people inside that city were probably wondering, what in the world is going on? Why are these crazy people walking around? And after 1 time, they quit and they don't make an attack on the city. They don't rush the walls. There's something very strange going on here. And so when we are obedient to the Lord, it may not make sense to you. It may not make sense to the people who are watching you, and even to the enemy it may not make sense, which that's okay for the enemy to be confused and perplexed by it. But when other Christians are, sometimes they are our biggest enemy. Sometimes Christians, the brothers and sisters in the church, they don't understand the strategy that the Lord has given us. They don't understand the reason why God has called us to do what we do. And so I can attest to that in my own experience. Many people didn't understand why God called me to Africa. I didn't even understand it myself. when he first called me, but I was prepared to go because I was obedient to the Lord. And when I got here and I saw the people's hunger for crusade preaching, and I saw the people's hunger for good teaching and being discipled in the Lord, I understood why the Lord sent me, because I spent many years preaching in the prison, discipling very disobedient and very rebellious men in the prisons. I preached over 2,000 services in the prison, and so that is the reason God sent me to Africa, was to disciple people, to preach the crusades, to bring the fire into the people here in Africa. And so when I was obedient to the Lord, then he opened up the door for me to come, and I was able to come because he wanted me to be here, and he gave me the provision. And even to this day, as long as I do what God calls me to do here, he will provide for me. Well, of course, the children of Israel were obedient, and they marched around 13 times total. 13 times they marched around in silence, and then at the end of the seventh day, at the end of the 13th time around, they blew the horns, blew the trumpets, and they shouted with a great shout, and the walls of that city came down. Well, do you believe, beloved, it's because they had such great voices, or because their shout was so loud, or because they were silent for 13 days? Is that why the walls fell down? No, that isn't why the walls fell down. They fell down because the Lord God Almighty shook the walls down, and the children of Israel were just obedient to do what God called them to do, and God took care of the battle. He knocked the walls down, and then the children of Israel were able to rush up, every man straight ahead of him, into the city of Jericho, and they took captive the city of Jericho, and it was an easy conquest for them. Well, I have a Jericho story in my own life. I prayed and preached at a church here in the USA one time, and they called me to help them with a prayer meeting. They'd had a division in the church, and the church was really struggling. The church was in a crisis mode, you might say, of crisis of leadership, and they were a bit demoralized, a bit downhearted, and so they called me to come pray with them. And so I prayed the night before. I said, Lord, how do you want me to pray with these people, and how do you want me to encourage them? And he said, take them to Jericho, take them to the Jericho March, and march around their church 13 times, which we did. We went around the church 13 times in silence, and then at the end of the 13 times around the church, we shouted with a great shout, and one of the ladies who was there, and she was not able to walk because she had a bad ankle or a bad foot, and she was there sitting at the door of the church, and she said, I just felt when you shouted, I just felt like walls of division, walls of criticism, walls of deceit and mistrust. I felt like those walls were coming down and fell down, and I felt like there was a rush of the Holy Spirit. I felt like there was a rush into this church, and I believe that the Lord gave us victory then to pick up the pieces, the broken pieces of this church, and to move forward in victory, and to move forward with confidence and boldness. And so God gave them victory. That church now is doing better than it ever has in its history. In fact, the most people ever to attend that church, I believe, just recently attended at the Christmas service and in the Christmas season. And so that church is doing very well. Many young people in the church, many young families, and it not only recovered, but it accelerated. Well, there was one thing that happened there in Jericho that carried over into the next battle, which was the battle at Ai, which was a small city that was in the same region with Jericho. And in verse 18 of Joshua chapter 6, God gives them instruction through Joshua. He says, and you by all means abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Well, they were able to take that large city of Jericho, but then the next city, when God lays out the instruction for them, they have a little problem. Starting in chapter 7, they have now been given instruction on how to take Ai. And in verse 1 it says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things." That very thing that we talked about, that the Lord talked about and warned them about. Don't take the accursed things. Leave them there. Those things of the spoil that are so tempting, leave them there. And yet the children of Israel disobeyed. And so in verse 1 it says, "They took the accursed things for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel." Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up, and they spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all of the people go up, but let only 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few." And so only about 3,000 men went up from there to Ai, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people were melted and became like water. Well, beloved, after the great victory of Jericho, then they've tasted defeat at Ai, and it was a very simple thing. They did not continue to be obedient to the Lord. They went their own way, and Achan, the son of Carmi, he was the one who was disobedient. It was just as Eve was disobedient in the garden. She could eat anything that she wanted of all of the trees of the fruit of the garden, but the Lord said, "Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of that fruit." And Eve was not able to resist the temptation of the devil. And so it was that when Achan, the son of Carmi, saw these gold and silver items and the spoil that was in the city of Jericho, he was not able to resist. And beloved, that is a picture of the temptation that we, each of us as Christians, as believers, and even unbelievers, that is a picture of us in our daily battle with the devil. He will never leave you alone. He will never say, "I'm not going to bother that person. I'm done with bothering that person." No, he bothers pastors. He bothers elders, he bothers deacons, he bothers women of God, he bothers evangelists. The devil will never be happy as long as you are seeking the Lord, as long as you are trying to be obedient to the Lord. And you may be in a place in your walk where you think the devil doesn't bother you. Well, maybe that's because you're not really seeking the Lord. I challenge you today to seek the Lord with all of your heart, strength, and mind, and soul. And beloved, you will find out the devil is against you. He's going to do everything that he can in his power to tear you down, to steal, kill, and destroy you. He'll work on your family. He'll try to get you to quit your destiny. He'll try to get you to quit your church. He'll get you to quit your salvation, to turn away from your salvation, from your confession, and he'll get you to quit using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And beloved, you have to stand strong. You have to stay obedient to the plan that God has given you, and it may be very detailed and you don't understand it, but I tell you today, God has a plan for you, and sometimes he will lay it out in great detail, and when you are obedient to that, God will be there with you. But you have to resist the temptation. You can't take the things which God says, "I don't want you to take," and you cannot try to pick up the spoil when God says, "Don't take the spoil." And there are times when God tells me, "Don't take things, don't receive certain offerings from certain people," and I don't understand it. Or there's reasons why God says, "Give your money away," and I don't understand it. But God has a plan for my life, and I try to be obedient to that plan. So when Joshua sees these men of Israel being chased by this small army of Ai, he is very forlorn. He is very full of remorse. And in verse 10, Joshua now is laying on his face before the Lord, and he's crying out in verse 9. In verse 9 in chapter 7, he said, "The Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear about us and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" He's crying out to God. He's saying, "We have now run like chickens in front of the army of Ai, and our name, we have no reputation, we have no name in front of these people. And what are you going to do for your great name, Lord?" And the Lord chastised Joshua, and he rebuked him in verse 10. And he says, "The Lord said to Joshua, 'Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff.'" And therefore, verse 12, "The children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed things from among you." Well, beloved, when you have sin in the camp, that's what this message is all about. When you have sin in the camp, you're not going to defeat your enemies. If you're watching pornography and you think you're going to be able to quit taking drugs or quit smoking marijuana or quit drinking alcohol, and you're watching pornography every night, you have sin in your camp, you have sin in your family. If you are committing adultery and you can't seem to understand why the God of heaven is not for you and he seems to be against you, if you're committing stealing and lying and cheating, and you're stealing from your boss at work, and you don't think things are working out for you, beloved, there's a reason. You have sin in the camp, and you need to get your camp cleaned out, and you need to confess your sins and repent of your sins, and you need to come clean before the Lord. Get the sin out of your house, get the sin out of your camp, get the pornography off your computer, get the alcohol out of your house and out of your life, and maybe then the Lord will fight your battles for you, and maybe then you will start to see victory. I was talking with a lady in Kenya the other day, and we were talking about stealing, because I've never been any place in my life where people steal from each other like they do in Kenya, and I'm talking about even other African countries. Kenya is by far the worst of the countries that I've been in. They just seem to prey upon each other and cannibalize each other here like nobody I've ever seen before. The government steals from the people steal from each other, the police steal from the people. It's just a constant battle day after day, night after night, trying to keep a hold of your stuff and keep a hold of your possessions. And yet the God of all creation has a plan for Kenya. He wants to bless Kenya, but Kenya is not going to be blessed until the people, especially the people of God, the people who claim to know the Lord, get their house in order and get straight, and the pastors stop stealing from each other, and the pastors stop stealing from evangelists, and then God can start to work. But this lady, she said that the people in America, they don't steal like we do here in Kenya because I have what they need. And I said, no, they have what they need because they don't steal. Do you believe that it is possible that God can bless people that don't steal, even when they don't think they have enough? Yes, he can bless them, because we have learned in this passage of Scripture and in the passage about Jericho, we have learned that when you're obedient to the Lord, that he will bless you. You may not have everything that you need. You may be, by American standards, a bit impoverished, which by African standards, I don't think any person in America is really impoverished, but you may have less than your neighbor, and you may want some things that your neighbor has. Beloved, be satisfied with what you have. Be content, and God will bless you. When you're content with what you have, and you are satisfied, and you continue to serve the Lord, you continue to be thankful, you continue to praise him when you're in a storm, praise him when you're in a valley, God is going to bless you. And the revelation God gave to me was Americans have what they need because they don't steal. And it has been a history of America that we have been honorable people and we have not stolen. We don't have much corruption in our government compared to other countries around the world. And so when you are obedient to the Lord, you will be blessed. Well, the story of Ai is that Joshua repented. They killed Achan. He was stoned and even burned himself and his family. And then Joshua sent another army up to Ai, and they easily accomplished what they should have been able to accomplish the first time. They took Ai and they destroyed everything that God told them to destroy, and they were easily given victory over the city of Ai. Well, that's the story of victory and defeat. When you're obedient to the Lord, you will have victory. When you are disobedient, your battle is going to be a struggle, and the devil will steal from you, and the Lord will not fight your battle for you, and it's going to be an uphill battle whenever you take on the enemy in your life. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for all the good years of support, and we invite you to support us, to pray for us. We invite you to sit down and write out a check. Let us know you're listening. Let us know you appreciate these broadcasts, and also we appreciate your support for the projects we have in Africa, the new church building, the crusades coming up in Tanzania and other places, and the children's feeding project, the children's home project. We have many things going on here. We invite you to get along with us, to come alongside us, lift us up, and you will be blessed. You will know the blessings of the Lord when you work with His projects here through Gather the Outcast Ministry here in Kenya and throughout East Africa. Well, stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.